Good to see everyone this morning. We are in the ninth chapter of Revelation. Somebody tell me what's going on in the ninth chapter. Don't look at your notes now. No looking. Somebody tell me what's going on in chapter 9. Where are we at? Well, we're in judgment. We're in the woe. We're getting towards the end now. You say, but Tom, honey, there's 11, 12, 13 more chapters to go. No, we're at the end now. We may be in chapter 9, but we're at the end. You see, Revelation doesn't run chronologically. We're going to see the end here soon. But then it's going to take us back and fill in bits and pieces that were talked about previously in a general way. It's going to talk about specific ways. So we're getting near the end, folks. Because the reason I know that is because the seventh seal has been opened. Soon the seventh trumpet will sound. And inside those seven seals and seven trumpets are seven plagues. It's not like there's three different things going on. It's all transpiring. Remember, I gave you the telescope. And it's all transpiring within a certain time. What's that certain time? Seven years. But now we're not in the first three and a half. We're in the last three and a half. That's why I know we're in the end. See, when the 7 years is up, folks, it's done. When that happens, it's over. And the thousand-year millennial reign will begin. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's loosed, the battle happens, the battle's over, the judgment's there. And then he says, and I saw, behold, I make all things new, a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where we go, folks, to a new heaven and a new earth to dwell forever. So that's where we're at in chapter 9. Last week we talked about the fifth trumpet, didn't we? What happened in the fifth trumpet? The locust. It says that he saw an angel come down, didn't he? And he had a key, and it was a key to the bottomless pit. Now, the bottomless pit, listen, there is nothing good associated with the bottomless pit. Search Scripture as you will find nothing but demonic interests in the bottomless pit. So there's nothing good going to come out of it. You heard that old saying, nothing good will come out of this. Well, nothing good is going to come out of the bottomless pit, I can assure you. So he comes down and he unlocks the bottomless pit, and locusts come out. And how were they described? Huh? Well, that was one part of them. They hurt like a scorpion, right? Now we all know that locusts never hurts man. I mean, locusts fly on your arm wouldn't bother you. You just knock it off. But not so with these. Because these were described in a certain way. They had the face of a man. They had the teeth of a lion. They had the hair of a woman. And they had a golden crown on their head, which meant they had authority. Where did they get their authority? Well, from the only place where you get authority, folks, all power in heaven and earth is given unto God. So God's what gives them their power. They only do, you say, but the Bible says they had a king over them. Yeah, they do. They had, and if you look at, it's a little k. You know, notice in the Bible when you see kings, notice if it's got a little k or a big k. Oh, that's critical. The Bible is not, you know, the Bible just doesn't do things haphazardly, folks. They had a little king over them. Well, they're a little king because it just simply means they had a ruler over them. They had a person over them. There's organization about them. But what they do is strictly what they're told to do. And what they're told to do is not to do something and to do something. They were told not to do what? Well, okay, let's back up, and I'll help you. That's okay. Because, see, that's why I don't want you looking at notes. I want you to know this. So if somebody asks you about Revelation, you have some way of not reading, you know, not being memorized, but an understanding of what's there. You follow me? That's why I say don't look at your notes, because you can't go around carrying your notes with you. And somebody says, what do you know about Revelation? Well, let me get my notebook. No, that's not what you want to do. So, and I, don't get me wrong, if you take notes, that's wonderful. Because notes you can go back and refer to, right, when you study. That's good. I don't mean it critically. I just mean, you know, when I'm asking. When somebody else asks you if you want to use your notes, that's fine. I don't care. But what they're told not to do is what they would do naturally. What did locusts do naturally? Eat what? Green things. Grass, trees, leaves, whatever. In fact, if you read some of the great locust plagues in the world that's happened, my goodness, they're devastating. I mean, when they go, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. But they're told, oh, don't you do that. I'm not sending you out there to eat grain. Why? Because he's already burned up a third of that. Remember? You know, that's already, a third of it's already been burned up. So he says, now don't do that. But here's what I do want you to do. I want you to hurt men. Now what's he told not to do with men? Huh? Oh, no, he's told to torture them. Kill them. In other words, they're told to torment them for how long? 5 months. You say, Tom, why 5 months? Anybody want to guess? That'd be what it'd be. I don't know why 5 months, folks. God's calendar's not my calendar. Thank goodness. I don't know why 5 months. But he tells them, look, I want you to hurt them, torment them for 5 months. Remember I told you if you sit down to eat, they're just tormenting you. If you lay down to sleep, they're tormenting you. If you go down the road for a walk, they're tormenting you. They're constantly tormenting you to what point? Huh? They want to die. Now listen, you have to get man pretty depressed, right? Pretty discouraged, without hope, without help. And then the only way they, you know, it's amazing. Man thinks the way out is to die here. That's because they don't believe they're going somewhere. You don't get out of anything if you pull a trick. And don't, please, I'm not diminishing suicide. My goodness, I don't ever want anyone to commit suicide. Never. So don't, please don't paint me that way. But, you know, you put a gun to your head and you pull a trigger. And you're thinking, and the reason you're thinking is because you're being deceived. Now, they can say it's mental illness if they want to. I'm not smart enough to know that. They're deceived because they think that's a way out. It's not a way out. It's a way in. It's a way into somewhere. And you say, well, where are they going? I don't know. I leave that up to God. I'm not smart enough. I'm not the judge. I don't judge people that commit suicide. I don't judge anybody. Judge not that you be not judged. I don't know what it's like to be that in that state, folks. I've never been there. So how in the world could I be critical or condemn someone for something that I've never been there? Right? But I can emphatically say that it's not a way out of anything. You're going somewhere. When you pull the trigger and the bullet hits you and your life leaves you, you're going somewhere. See, that's what the world don't believe. The world believes that we're all going to Nirvana or somewhere where there's just paradise. We're all going up. Well, that's what they want to believe. And so they think, well, the way out is, boy, get me out of my misery here. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Your misery here could be a drop in the bucket to your misery there if you're not right when you pull that trigger. But these people, hey, they're way out. They see a way out. Yes, dear.
I have a question.
Okay.
Now, you said that not everybody's going up, but don't they have to go up to get to the white throat judgment so they go back down?
No.
Okay. Just
no.
Question.
No. When I said going up, honey, I'm talking about everyone thinks they're going to heaven.
Oh.
No one's thinking about the white throne judgment, and I don't know where the white throne judgment is. I don't know if it occurs here or there. That's the reason I say, I don't know. And I don't think anybody else could tell you where the white throne judgment is. That's where it is, and it's where God's sitting on it. So, I'm, you know, there's some things that, but I appreciate your question, and certainly I didn't mean I didn't mean to do anything. So,
hey,
all right. Now, does anybody know where I was? Going up. Yeah, thank you. But they want to die, and they want to die because they're just tormented. There's nothing but there's no rest from it. You can't get 1 second of rest from it. That's how many demons are coming up out of that pit to where this whole world is just tormented. Now, except for, thank you. And I call that being in Goshen. Because if you recall, all the plagues that happened in Egypt, none happened in Goshen except the blood. And what that tells you is this. God may seal you from all other things, but the one thing he cannot stop because of his own nature and righteousness, when he says you must come through the blood, you must come through the blood whether you're Jew or Gentile. There is no other way. They were not exempt from that. If the blood was not there, their firstborn was dead, period. If the blood was there, they were okay. But that was true elsewhere. Where else was that true? In Egypt. The blood. Listen, the plagues may get you in Egypt, but if you apply that blood, your firstborn wouldn't die because God said so. And if you apply that blood to you, I can tell you this, you're not, never going to die. Second death, right? Yeah. For his point unto man to die after that judgment. We know physical death comes to all. Now, so that's what's going on in this ninth chapter and the fifth trumpet is the locust. But there's a part that I wanted to show you. And then I'm going to move on. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, what do you get out of those two verses that you could say about these scorpions? One word. Well, let me ask you this. Knowing what you know about man, if man is faced with something that is tormenting him, what is going to be his first thought? How to get rid of him. How can we destroy them? Well, that tells me they're indestructible. Man, in all his wisdom and all his weapons, can't destroy the locusts. Because God has sealed the saints but he's also sealed the scorpion, the locusts that sting like a scorpion. God sealed them, which means you can't kill them. You can't die, they can't die. Isn't that amazing? Because you know man would come up with some kind of chemical spray to kill the locust if it was just locust. Because we have sprays that can kill locusts, don't we? Well, certainly. But these aren't your everyday locusts, folks. These are demons. These are indestructible demons. And they are going to be here for 5 months. And they have a king over them. And I want you to notice one more thing. That king has two names. Why two names?
Is it Satan and the Antichrist?
No.
Two languages,
which means two. Well, you have Jew and Gentile. They have a name for the Gentiles. And they have a name for the Jew. But did you notice that the name for the Gentile and the name for the Jew, though pronounced differently, mean the same? Destruction. Destroyer. It doesn't matter. You can look in either language. And it's amazing how they are both the same definition in different languages. They both mean the same thing. Destroyer or destruction. Now, why would that be? Well, who is the chief demon?
Satan.
Well, what does the Bible say about him? He hath come to destroy. Listen, there's nothing associated with Satan that is any positive. And why people live for him, and why people die with him, I don't understand. Because you see, hell was created for the devil and his angels. That's what it said, isn't it? What's the rest of it? And all nations that forget God. Now that's almost like it's an afterthought, brother. God has no afterthoughts. But that sounds like it's sort of an afterthought. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. But now if you go with them, you're going to have to go with them. Hey, like that. That'll help you remember it, won't you? If you go with them, you have to go with them. He says, in all nations. Now, the word nations there, it's not talking about UK, America, Russia, Japan. Those are land masses. What it's talking about is the people in those land masses. The people in Britain. The people in America, the people in Russia, the people in Africa. Makes no difference where you're at. And everyone, how about that? How about if I put in everyone that forgets God? Now, how do you forget God? You say, Tom, you can't forget God. Folks, just listen, and you'll hear everyday people that forget God. They don't want to think about God. They don't care about God until they need God. Just like this nation. We don't care about God. You say, Tom, everybody? I didn't say everybody. I'm talking about the majority. If you don't think that we, as believers, are in the minority, we'd have to disagree there. That's just all I'll say. This nation, the majority of this nation, is godless. Cares nothing about God. Period. Well, God gives them the right to do that. But they also have to die with it. And we'll have to live with it. we'll have to live with it. But it's all nations that forget God. And the way you forget God is this. When the dove landed on the son's shoulder, and they were all standing around, and they heard a voice out of heaven. Now listen, folks. You can't tell me, because I wouldn't believe you. I'm like Judge Judy. Do you want me to believe? I love why she does it. I just want to get this straight now. Do you want me to believe? You know, she's not going to believe you, but is that what you want me to believe? I'm just asking. Do you want me to believe that if we all were standing outside and we heard a voice coming out of heaven? I'm talking about an audible voice, folks. I'm not talking about a voice inside. I'm talking about an audible voice. You can't tell me that there would be those who would attribute it to God and those who would think that those who attributed to God were crazy. Yeah. Because that's exactly what happened. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Thank you, brother. But say that a little louder when you answer in here, because this lovely lady right here was hitting him in the side and saying, "What'd he say? What'd he say?" His poor little old ribs are bruised now from that elbow. What'd he say? So answer. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. If you don't hear Jesus, you've forgotten God, folks. And if you've forgotten God, you're done. You're cooked. One of these days, literally. So that's what's going on here. Now, that's the fifth trumpet. And he says, one woe is past. Behold, the second woe cometh. And the sixth angel sounded. That's what happens when you blow a trumpet in. It sounds. And what happened? Well, he says, and I heard a voice from between the golden altar saying to him that hath the sixth trumpet, loose, let go. Now, we all know what loose is, because when Lazarus came out of the grave and Jesus was standing there and he's like this, he was bound, right? Yeah. He was bound. He couldn't get himself out. He might be alive now, but he's still bound. So Jesus said, well, let's do the only thing that makes sense to me. Loose him. Loose him. Well, if these four demons, these four angels are in this place bound, and when God binds you, bless God, you're bound till God says loose. He says, loose the four angels which are in the river Euphrates. And they were loosed. And it says that they are certain angels. Now, before I get to the certain angels, I want to talk to you about the river Euphrates. How many of you are familiar with the Euphrates River? Larry is. Will is. Oh, just a little. Well, I'm going to find out what little you know. See, Will and Larry do this. They've dropped their heads, but you kept yours up. Will says, I'm going to drop my head over here. He'll ask me something. Yeah, you don't know nothing, for crying out loud. You don't know nothing. I'm just teasing. It is 1,760 miles long. It runs parallel to the Tigris River. The Tigris River down near Kuwait runs into the Euphrates. And then the Euphrates on down into Egypt runs into the Nile, just like the Bible says, folks, just like the Bible says. So the Euphrates is one of the rivers that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. And it is the same river that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 15, where Abraham is given the covenant with the people, the children of Israel. They weren't the children of Israel at the time. They would later become the Israelites, the children of Israel, or the children of God, however you want to describe it. But when the covenant was made to Abraham, it gave the boundaries that God gave Abraham and his seed, which meant Israel. Now, if you go and look at those boundaries, there's a lot of people living on Israel's property that they think it's their property. But guess what? You remember what happened when the children of Israel went across Jordan and they were told something, weren't they? They were told to just go and take the land that I have. Thank you, honey. God says, now listen, I don't want you to go over and take anything that's not yours, but I want you to go over and take everything that is yours because I've given it to you. And guess what? I'll make sure you get it. But they didn't obey. They didn't obey. If they'd have just obeyed God, my goodness, it'd have all been theirs. It'd have been theirs today. But not so. But that doesn't vacate the covenant or the promise that God made to Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham that certain boundaries were going to belong to Israel. And I'm telling you right now, the remnant of Israel that is saved, and only them, are going to possess that land. God's going to clear the land. God's going to clear it. Israel's not going to clear it. Israel's not going to get a big army together and go in there and run them all out. That's what they were told to do originally. They didn't do it. They were told to go on in there and fight, and I'll take care of the enemy. You don't have to worry. All you got to do is go. But then here come them 10 spies and says, oh, they be giants. We look like grasshoppers. We can't go over there. And that was their downfall. But one of these days, God's going to clean it all out. And what's going to transpire in this sixth trumpet is almost entirely in that area. That's what's happening. And so the sixth trumpet sounds, and the four angels are loosed. Now, it says that they've been bound in the river Euphrates. How long have they been bound there? Now, please do not answer, because no one will know. Nor does your teacher know. I don't know how long they've been there. My brother told me this morning, my brother Dave, he says, oh, Tom, they were put in there after the fall in the garden and the cherubims were put there with the flaming swords. They were put there. I couldn't argue. Dave, I said, your speculation could certainly be true, but that's what it is. It's speculation. It doesn't matter when they were put there. The Bible says certain things about them that we can know, not what we don't know. If you dwell on what you can't know, you'll never know what you can know, right? So what we can know about them is there's four of them. The other thing we can know about them is that the Bible says that they were made ready or prepared or thoroughly fitted for a certain hour, a certain day, a certain month, and a certain year. Now, you remember when Jesus came out of the temple and they said, Lord, look at this great temple. And he says, oh, bless your hearts. He says, don't you know that time's coming when they won't be one stone left upon another. And boy, it was just like a switch was flipped. Thank you. A switch was flipped. That's hard to say with this stupid tooth. A switch was flipped. And immediately their mind went to somewhere else. What did they ask the Lord? When shall this be, and when shall the... What'd you say, brother? You're going to get his ribs broke over here. If you've got to speak up. She can't hear you. He said, and when shall the end come? Now listen, they associated immediately what God meant. They associate that immediately. And when shall the end come? And then he goes on with this great oratory in chapter 24 there of what will happen in the end time, right? And they ask him, when? What was his answer? Oh, no man knoweth, not even the Son. No, he didn't say Son of God. See, you can't say, because as Son of God, he did know. Huh? Because he's God. See, you know, sometimes people get this sort of out of sync. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But they're all the same. You say, Tom, how can that be? How can I know? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. There's three yet one. So as God, Jesus certainly knew. But as man, which he was as much man as you were. Pardon me, sir. I hate your demise. Honey, I'm so sorry to hear about your husband. I didn't mean to put him past tense, and I apologize. Sometimes I get so crazy. Doris, help me. But he was as much man as you are. Oh, by the way, and as you are. You say, I'm not a man. Well, it's a generic term, and it means human. He was as much human as anyone in this room. But folks, he was all God. And as God, he knew. But he says as man, I don't know. Even the Son of Man don't know. Only the Father knows. Well, I don't know what day these four demons are going to be loosed. But you know what I do know? Thank you. They're going to be loosed. Because they've got an hour. But you notice how specific, I mean, he didn't say a day, he didn't say a month, didn't say a year. He said an hour, a day, a month, and a year. Now listen, folks, that takes in everything we know about time. Right? There's 24 hours in a day, there's 365 days in a year, and there's however many years we live. And there's 12 months in each one of those years. That's every aspect of time. And he says there's a certain one that they're going to be loosed. And when they're loosed, they're going to do something. They're going to head up a 200 million. The Bible is specific here. You see, lots of other times it says innumerable, right? And on the locust, there was no number mentioned. It was there was enough. Let's put it that way. It's whatever was necessary. That's however many there were. Enough. But here, for some reason, and I don't know why, for some reason, the Bible numbers it. 200 million. He says, and I saw the number of the army of the horsemen. And he describes the horsemen, and he describes the horses. And by these, meaning the horses, if you read how it's written, The riders do nothing here. Do nothing. By the horses, 1/3 of all man shall be, what'd you say?
Killed.
Well, I'm going to have to correct you. You're right, but you're wrong. It says slain, slayed. Now, if you read Slade, or to slay. It means to kill, but it means to kill viciously. I mean, if you read somewhere where somebody was slayed, that means they were brutally, viciously killed. Well, that's why it uses a different word here. If you remember back when it had the seals were being opened and 1/4 were killed, it used the word killed because it was not necessarily viciously. Some died of famine. Some died from war. Some died from disease. Different ways, but 1/4 died. But here, and if you remember, I said if it was today's numbers, it's 7.6 billion people, and I said 1.8 billion would have been killed there. And if you do the math, of that number, that means that 5.5 billion are left at this time, and 1/3 of 5.5 billion is 1.83 billion. That means that total, 3.3 billion, round it off, 3.3 billion dead. Now try to bury 3.3 billion. I'm not talking about over a span of centuries, folks. I'm talking about over a span of years, a few years, to where the Bible says that they're just piling up. You can't bury them. They're just piling up. And so these four angels head up this 200 million army of demons. It's another demonic army. Not like the locust. The locust was told, oh, now just go out there and torment them. It's sort of like he says, I'm going to torment. Look, you say, Tom, what? Where's the love? The love's gone, folks. God, the Bible says, is going to do this without pity and without mercy. And it's almost like he says, first I'm going to torment you, and then I'm going to kill a third of you in a vicious way. You want to die? You wanted to die when the locust was here? Well, now I'm going to help you out, but you're not going to like how you're going to die. Now, anybody remember, you say, Tom, are you ever going to read Revelation? I'm teaching it as hard as I can. Anybody read the story in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah? All right, now we all know about Sodom and Gomorrah, don't we? Huh? Okay. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah is about a vile, unrighteous, ungodly, unrepentant city that God saw the stench of them. And he says, I'm going down to visit them. And he brought two angels with him. And you remember he stopped off to see a friend of his on the way. You know, sort of like you're going to the beach and you say, honey, let's stop off and see George. We ain't seen George in years. George is a friend. And George is sitting on the front porch and you pull up and there you go and sit down with George. And he says, where are you going? You say, well, I'm going down to the beach to see if it's as bad as they say it is. Now, you wouldn't know how bad it is, would you? God knew how bad it was. God knew why he stopped to see Abraham. He knew Abraham was concerned about that city, folks. Yeah. You say, what, you think? You think Abraham hadn't been praying for Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, my goodness. Just because the Bible don't say it, you can read between the lines. God stopped in to see his friend because his friend was concerned about it. And he says, now listen, I can't go down there and destroy this city without stopping in to see my friend because he's got relatives there. So he stops in, and Abraham told Sarah, I said, you fix us something to eat, honey. You know, now I know that today they call that chauvinism and sexism and all that, you know. We've gone crazy. You know, we've gone plumb nuts in this country and in this world, but hey, just closer to home, far as I'm concerned. But anyway, she fixes them a meal, and so they get ready to go, and the Lord says, well, can I go do this without telling my friend? So he turns around, and he tells him what he's going to do. The boy and Abraham is shaking. Folks, we ought to be shaking. God's told us what he's going to do. I just wonder if we really believe it. I wonder if we really believe God's going to destroy this thing. I wonder if we really believe God's going to destroy our families, our friends, even our foes. I wonder. Look, I know we're in the flesh. I'm in the flesh, and I wonder sometimes, Tommy, do you really do you believe this? Where's your passion? Where's your compassion for those in Sodom? Oh, we're easy to condemn them, right? All them. That's easy. It's easy to act like we're better than somebody. We're not. Except for the grace of God, there go we. So he says, I'll tell my friend. And Abraham says, Lord, pray adventure, amen. Lord, if by chance, if just some reason, if you could find 50 righteous down there, would you spare them? Can't you hear him plead? He don't know how many's down there. I don't know how many's lost today. I don't know who'll sit in this church today that's lost, that's in Sodom. I'm not talking about that city. I'm talking about in sin. Lost. Do we really care? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm trying to wake me up. He said, Lord, if you find 50, would you spare them? He says, yeah. Now, did God know there wasn't 50 down there? I mean, why didn't God say, oh, Lot, Abraham, they're not 50 down there? It's his friend. He wouldn't do that. And then Abraham sort of said, well, boy, Abraham gets, maybe there's not 50 down there. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15. What was God's answer each time? Yeah. Yeah, spare him. How low did he go? He went to 5, didn't he, honey? What'd God say? That was his last plea, wasn't it, honey? How many went out, sweetheart? How many went out, honey?
Three.
How many went out, honey? How many went out, brother?
Four went out.
Four went out. Four's less than five, isn't it? God knew all along. Boy, I tell you what, if you ain't getting this, there's something wrong with my teaching. God knew all along who was down there. Bless God, he knew all along who he's going to bring out, because the Bible says he knoweth how to deliver them out of temptation. And so he says, I'm going now. And he don't go. He sends him two angels. And y'all know the story. The two angels go down, they tell Lot what's going on, and they said, now Lot, look, your family, we're going to take your family out. Isn't that amazing? How many was in his family, counting his son-in-laws?
Two daughters.
Well, he had four daughters and two son-in-laws and a wife. Huh? How many is that? Seven.
Seven.
That exceeds five, doesn't it?
Yes.
God's going to answer Abraham's prayer if he can. He said, now you go and get, if we knew they wasn't going to come, but he said, now you go over and get your daughters and their husbands. And come on in, son. And what did he say? What did, oh gosh. Oh man, it's time for me to quit. Oh. Who said that? Well, I'll quit earlier next time.
No.
Well, I'll have to pick up our next time. Huh? Oh, I won't forget, honey. I forget a lot of things, but I won't forget that.